I looked in the direction of the wall, invisible now in the darkness. Birmingham, September 15. Four little angels dead. Poor May, I said. Yes, said August. Poor May. And we sat in the sorrow for a while, until the mosquitoes collected around us and chased us indoors. In the honey house, Rosaline was on her cot with the lights out and the fan going full blast. I stripped down to my panties and sleeveless top, but it was still too hot to move. My chest hurt from feeling things. I wondered if T-Ray was pacing the floors feeling as injured as I hoped he did. Maybe he was telling himself what a rotten excuse for a father he was for not treating me better, but I doubted it. Thinking up ways to kill me was more like it. I turned my pillow over and over for the coolness, thinking about May and her wall and what the world had come to that a person needed something like that. It gave me the willies to think what might be stuffed in among those rocks. The wall brought to my mind the bleeding slabs of meat Rosaline used to cook, the gashes she made up and down them, stuffing them with pieces of wild, bitter garlic. The worst thing was lying there wanting my mother. That's how it had always been. My longing for her nearly always came late at night when my guard was down. I tossed on the sheets, wishing I could crawl into bed with her and smell her skin. I wondered, had she worn thin nylon gowns to bed? Did she bobby pin her hair? I could just see her, propped in bed. My mouth twisted as I pictured myself climbing in beside her and putting my head against her breast. I would put it right over her beating heart and listen. Mama, I would say. And she would look down at me and say, Baby, I'm right here. I could hear Rosaline trying to turn over on her cot. You awake? I said.
Who can sleep in this oven? She said. I wanted to say, you can, as I'd seen her sleeping that day outside the Frogmore Stew General Store and Restaurant, and it had been at least this hot. She had a fresh Band-Aid on her forehead. Earlier, August had boiled her tweezers and fingernail scissors in a pot on the stove and used them to pluck out Rosaline's stitches. How's your head?
My head is just fine.
The words came out like stiff little jabs in the air. Are you mad or something?
Why would I be mad? Just 'cause you spend all your time with August now ain't no reason for me to care. You pick who you want to talk with. It's not my business.
I couldn't believe it. Rosaline sounded jealous. I don't spend all my time with her.
Pretty much, she said.
Well, what do you expect? I work in the honey house with her. I have to spend time with her.
What about tonight? You out there working on honey, sitting on the lawn?
We were just talking.
Yeah, I know, she said, and then she rolled toward the wall, turning her back into a great hump of silence.
Rosaline, don't act like that. August might know things about my mother. She raised up on her elbow and looked at me.
Lily, your mama's gone, she said softly, and she ain't coming back.
I sat straight up. How do you know she isn't alive right in this very town? T-Ray could have lied about her being dead, just like he lied about her leaving me.
Oh, Lily girl, you gotta stop all this.
I feel her here, I said. She's been here, I know it.
Maybe she was. I can't say. I just know some things are better left alone.
What do you mean? That I shouldn't find out what I can about my own mother?
What if?
She paused and rubbed the back of her neck.
What if you find out something you don't want to know?
What I heard her say was, your mother left you, Lily. Let it alone. I wanted to yell how stupid she was, but the words bunched in my throat. I started hiccuping instead. You think T-Ray was telling me the truth about her leaving me, don't you?
I don't have any idea about that,
Rosaline said.
I just don't want you getting yourself hurt.
I lay back on the bed. In the silence, my hiccups ricocheted around the room.
Hold your breath. Pat your head and rub your tummy, Rosaline said.
I ignored her. Eventually, I heard her breathing shift to a deeper place. I pulled on my shorts and sandals and crept to the desk where August filled honey orders. I tore a piece of paper from a tablet and wrote my mother's name on it. Deborah Owens. When I looked outside, I knew I would have to make my way by starlight. I crept across the grass, back to the edge of the woods, to May's wall, hiccuping all the way. Placing my hands on the stones, all I wanted was not to ache so much. I wanted to let go of my feelings for a little while, to pull in my moat bridge. I pressed the paper with her name into a cranny that seemed right for her, giving her to the wailing wall. Somewhere along the way, my hiccups disappeared. I sat on the ground with my back against the stones and my head tilted back so I could see the stars with all the spy satellites mixed in. Maybe one of them was taking my picture this very minute. They could spot me even in the dark. Nothing was safe. I would have to remember that. I started thinking maybe I should find out what I could about my mother before T-Ray or the police came for us. But where to start? I couldn't just pull out the Black Mary picture and show it to August without the truth wrecking everything, and she would decide, or might decide, would decide, I couldn't say, that she was obliged to call T-Ray to come get me. And if she knew that Rosaline was a true fugitive, wouldn't she have to call the police? The night seemed like an inkblot I had to figure out. I sat there and studied the darkness, trying to see through it to some sliver of light. The queen must produce some substance that attracts the workers and that can be obtained from her only by direct contact. This substance evidently stimulates the normal working behavior in the hive. This chemical messenger has been called queen substance. Experiments have shown that the bees obtain it directly from the body of the queen. Man and insects.